I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission this Monday, July 21st, 2014, to order. And I would like to call on Sue Clayton to offer an opening prayer. Sue? Mr. Strahan, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Commission remarks. Special day for me. This is my dad's birthday. Accounts payable.
Move to approve checks numbers 340365 through 340451, warrant 6033, and a transfer from the reporter's fund to GCR for salaries.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve checks number 340365 through 340451, warrant number 6033, and a transfer from Recorder's Fund to GCR for salaries. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Previous meeting minutes.
Motion for approval of minutes July 3rd, 7th, and 14th, and executive session minutes June the 2nd.
If you don't care, give me just a second while you guys sign those.
I didn't hear you, Brandon.
So if you don't care, give me just a second while you sign those.
Okay.
Accounts payable.
Thank you. Yes, that's with corrections. I may not have stated that. I'm sorry.
Second. It shows me making a motion, and it shows me absent before I made the motion, so I didn't know how I could make the motion.
In spirit.
I think I was on the phone, but you got to go in there. I can't make a motion over the phone.
Motion's made and seconded to approve previous meeting minutes. Were this just for the regular session minutes, your motion?
No.
And the executive session? Regular session minutes of July 3rd, July 7th, and July 14th, and executive session minutes dated June 2nd, with corrections. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Board appointments. Library Board. I'm shown that we have two vacancies. There's three vacancies. We have two individuals' names that have been placed in front of the County Commission with their apps for these appointments. One is Wayne Dietrich, and the second is Debbie Keller.
For approval of these two individuals for the Library Board, Mr. Wayne Dietrich and Mrs. Debbie Keller.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to appoint Wayne Dietrich and Debbie Keller to the two of the vacancies that exist on the Library Board. Discussion?
The only discussion that I would have on that would, we would sure appreciate other applicants that would be interested so that we can review them and get that appointments fulfilled.
Excellent. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Are both Wayne and Debbie here? I see Wayne. Welcome to the Library Board. Mr. Dietrich, sure appreciate that. And now that you're here, we've got two or three other vacancies in other areas. You'll be receiving notice right away of those appointments, and we appreciate it. Pardon? I think, if I'm not mistaken, that we're filling vacancies that have been created through resignations, so that will be for the unexpired term of those positions. And that will be, I have to take a look at it and see how much time was left on each, but that will be sent out when they come back up, that particular term. For appointment, it will at that time be a regular term, a full term.
One of the vacancies is an unexpired term, and the other two expired and chose not to be reappointed.
Let me ask the commission then to clarify, who is it that you would half take the full term and the other for the unexpired term, because we need to denote
that. You said there was two that one.
I'd like to fill the two that for the expired terms.
There are two that are expired.
And there's one that's unexpired.
That's what we'll do then, if that's agreeable.
That's
fine. Thank you. It doesn't, I don't see that here. Appreciate your comments. EEZ board. We have two individuals, terms who have expired, and have both, I believe, have indicated a willingness to continue serving if the commission reappoints them. One is Carlos Osborne, the other is Kim Krause.
Motion for reappointment of those two individuals to the position at the EEZ board.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to reappoint Carlos Osborne and Kim Krause to the EEZ board. Discussion. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. Am I to understand that the survey services agreement has been scratched from this morning's discussion? Okay. 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 Bid recommendation for janitorial supplies? Thanks, Bob.
Gentlemen, we're here this morning for response and recommendation to bid number 201406-266. That's 201406-266 for janitorial supplies. This necessity or this need had gone out a few years ago, came up for renewal, and Renee from Building and Grounds had came to me and asked for us to rebid this because of various pricing fluctuations, etc., in the market. So on June the 7th, I released a full bid for this process. We received numerous responses back and forth, questions, etc., over this time frame. On Tuesday, July the 15th, we opened, Renee and I opened 9 responses from various janitorial supply vendors. And after opening these 9 packages, we set aside a time period for a thorough review of all the information received by Renee. An agenda request was made and approved for us to deliver a recommendation to you all this morning. Within this request for bid, we asked for price bids on 72 different items. Most of the 9 vendors who responded to specific items they seemed to specialize in. As such, it became counterproductive for us to recommend only one vendor. Therefore, after a complete and thorough review, Renee is now prepared to request that 4 vendors, which I'll list in a minute, be awarded based on the pricing that they submitted, supplying various janitorial supplies. Each of the 4 carry differing specific items preferred by the Buildings and Grounds Department at cost savings pricing for the Taney County. Many of these vendors have certain specific products that will only accommodate existing fixtures that we have around the complex. I have also attached a very sophisticated spreadsheet that Renee prepared to release when the award is completed for all the vendors to review at their perusal. The 4 selected vendors that she's going to recommend are Pippin Wholesaler.
Would you say that again? What's the first one?
Pippin.
Pippin.
PIPPEN Wholesalers out of Harrison, Arkansas.
Okay.
The next one is Expedex, which is XPEDX LLC out of Edwardsville, Kansas. Industrial Soap Company out of St. Louis. And Pyramid School Products out of Tampa, Florida. Now, two of these vendors, Industrial Soap and Pippin, we're very familiar with. We've used those vendors exclusively. The other two, Expedex and Pyramid, are new vendors to us. So I indicate in my award letter recommendation that although the pricing is attractive from these other two, quality and value over time will dictate our continuing use of them. If the quality and the value doesn't meet the minimum expectations or requirements, which Renee will explain in a minute, then we have the ability, based on our recommendation, to switch products, ordering, purchasing from these other available four vendors.
Okay. I chose these four companies because different products were cheaper than just picking one vendor. And there is some of them that have the only thing is some of them have a minimum order and some of them have a, you know, if I can't order below a certain product or they charge me freight. So, but that's not a problem because it's not a lot. So this is what I would like to do is have four vendors and that way I can get the best price for Payne County.
And I thought I'd just chip in and say that I think Renee has done an incredible job of scrutinizing a very complicated set of numbers and circumstances from numerous vendors. We've with a microscope looked at shipping costs and everything else on each one of these 72 items. So it's been amazing what she's done.
So it's my understanding that you're requesting the County Commission to select, you said Pippin Wholesalers?
Mm-hmm.
Expedex LLC, Industrial Soap, and Pyramid Products as those companies to receive the award for the bid that was let.
Correct.
And then allow you the discretion to choose which products we want from each company. And that will also ultimately be based upon whether or not they provide exactly what we want when they provide it.
Correct.
And I don't have any objection to that. Is there a motion?
Do we need to list any as far as primary, secondary?
No, we feel that since some of these vendors carry similar products and based again on value and quality, we want the freedom and option to equally award these four. There's also some others out there that are under national contracts that we could purchase from without concern of the bid limits. But by doing this process, we certainly have covered publicizing this. We've released this, and I've done direct invitations to all of the local vendors who supplied us janitorial products in the past. And there's a few of those that we'll continue to use that a cumulative amount falls within the parameters as well.
Move to approve bid number 201406-266 to Pippin Wholesalers, Expedex LLC, Industrial Soap Company, and Pyramid School Products.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to award bid number 201406-266 to Pippin Wholesalers, Expedex LLC, Industrial Soap Company, and Pyramid Products as recommended. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Let me commend both of you because this is part, obviously, of our overall plan to save money. wherever we can. And by you putting in this extra work and by you making those determinations, we're going to be saving Taney County a considerable amount of money. And we understand that and we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll notify the vendors.
Ron, we make an adjustment on the agenda and let the sheriff's deal here with his agenda item be moved. Front Road and Bridge, because Road and Bridge, we may have an executive session.
We're not scheduled for executive session, are we?
For real estate? It says it on there.
That's for real estate.
But Randy needs to be present probably for that. You can go ahead and do it.
Yes, he does, because it will affect him.
Okay.
Yes, you're right. All are scheduled at the same time, so it's really not a product. Sheriff, would you, or a problem? I was writing down product. Would you join us?
Good morning, sir.
How are you today?
All right. How are you?
Fighting whatever this is. It's wanting to crawl up my throat. Ron, do you want to join us? Sheriff, go ahead. Sorry.
The one thing I've got on the vehicles there, the sheriff's vehicles, we had a patrol car we took over to, we took it to one mechanic and they sent us over to Trilex with it. Camshaft has went bad in it. It's a 2008 one that we would be scheduling to replace this next year. Trilex is very familiar with the problem. I guess it's a problem that those years of vehicles have had. Whenever they get several miles on them, the cam loads are going bad on them. And they said they've done several for Christian County and some other counties also. Said it's a $6,800 repair. They have to put a new short block in and basically have a new rebuilt motor put in. We've got the option, I guess, basically of repairing that one. That one's not had a transmission replaced yet, so don't know how long that's going to last. That's another $3,600 if that was to go out. We've got the another option is we can strip it out. Put that stuff into one of our older cars until we get budget to replace it.
Didn't we just purchase a county vehicle? My question, where I'm headed, three. Did we go through one of the national procurement?
No, on the sheriff's vehicles, we bid it.
We bid it and tried to receive the bid.
Three new Dodges.
Yes, three Chargers.
So at the cost, we're going to go through the bid procedure again, right? Because we only let for three vehicles?
Well, on repairs.
I'm not talking about repairing. If the county were to get a new vehicle, mm-hmm. we would let for bids again. Is that what you're suggesting, Sheriff?
I wanted to give the...
I don't want to spend $10,000 on a car we're only going to keep for another year or so.
Yeah, might be replacing it in spring anyways. It would make more sense to me to go ahead and replace it now.
And then we might be able to utilize whatever is salvageable off of that vehicle for some of the others if there's something that's needed.
Yeah.
I think is where he was headed.
So you can't utilize the old bid, but you have a national bid that you could go off of?
We have a state bid that we can go off of, but that I don't know for sure who has the state bid. One of the dealerships here in Missouri, but
Jeff City.
It's Jeff City that has it. I'm with George. We can utilize that bid. Actually, in the past, Tri-Lakes has usually saved us money over the state bid. They've been cheaper than what state bids are. So.
Well, if they are, then we'll have need to go out for bid, I guess. Or did we have an initial number of vehicles?
I'd have to look at the details. We, I was just thinking the way I worded that.
We bid five. Three of them was purchased through the budget here, two of them through our prisoner or inmate security fund. So we bid five, but there was a specific number on the bid.
So you've already did that. So the best thing to do is to go out for bid again, even if it's for one vehicle. And
so is the commission in agreement that we can have Sheriff and Ron pursue the acquisition of that vehicle?
Yes, I don't want to put any more money into a vehicle that's going to be put up for sale.
Let's move forward on that item.
Okay. Now you just went from 3 to 4. Thanks.
That just came up last week.
Well, that's it. Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Oh, though there's more here.
You called me in here for some stuff to talk to him about. So. The software. You all apparently had some questions for me on the software. Or?
Where are we at on the software? Which, remind me here. Oh, we're talking about
Cody.
Cody?
Yeah, the records management systems.
The only question that I've had, I think, from the beginning is the assurance that we're not going to be paying both companies for the same service at the same time.
Right.
And have we reached that conclusion that we're not going to be doing that?
I've been speaking with our Frank Cotty, and our maintenance agreement ends at the end of the year with Cody and is due January 1, basically. For next year. Yeah, it's January 1 through December 31st.
So if we went through a bid process now and select, that would give us time to actually get the equipment installed, make sure that it's working before we enter into
have training and everything.
That gives you plenty of time to do that, plus still allow you to utilize existing equipment.
Correct. We could use existing equipment through December 31st and then do the switch at the first of the year.
Here's my question. We're going to be spending X amount of money anyway, as we are on the ongoing expense of this maintenance annually, right? Mm-hmm. So that's not a change.
Right.
Initial cost of equipment, you think?
There will be an initial minor cost to it. It's not near what we looked at before.
Setup fee, whatever.
Yeah. Initially, we had for countywide, it was like a $600,000 fee. We're looking at $10,000 to $15,000, probably. We do not know, depending on who is the successful bidder. We do not know what a conversion for the names system is to get the names converted over into the new system, because we don't know.
But we would find this out through the bidding process.
Well, that you're not going to find out through the bidding process. It'll be a minimal charge, but until.
But why can't we find that out through the bidding process? Why not make it a part of it?
Because Cody will not allow anyone into their system to see what has to be built to convert it.
Ah.
So that's kind of where we're at on that, but it's a minimal.
The main question we had.
We're not going to do a complete information conversion. We're just going to do a names conversion is all. So that if we run a name in whatever new system we're with, then it will pop up and show that name has been used, so we'll know whether we need to look in the old system or the new system. You do a complete data conversion, and it.
Do you anticipate you're going to completely move away from the old system, or am I hearing you say you're going to maintain it and still pull information?
We will be able to still pull information out without having to do the maintenance on it, the maintenance agreements. because we will still have records in there.
If we can't get the records out, we've got to go to the old company, right?
Well, we'll be able to get the records out once that's done.
Okay. Guys, I think we need to go through the process, and then we'll know what we're looking at.
What's the municipalities in different places? Are they switching? Are they? I mean, will you guys be able to communicate back and forth or share information?
Forsyth has already said that they're going to, if we switch, they will switch. Branson wants to see how it works for us. The anticipated system that we're looking at, we've all had before.
This is different now.
It will. What they are going to now is a web-based system,
right?
And that way, you don't have to maintain a server here on site. We don't have to do the backup or anything. It's all done at their office. They maintain the main servers. Those companies do. They do their backups, and it makes it much more accessible for our officers. They'll even be able to access the records management system from their iPhones or iPads, whatever.
Do you gentlemen have any objection to the sheriff and Ron moving forward on the specs for the new system as outlined by the sheriff?
I don't have any. The only thing that I was concerned with, and he answered the question, was the overlap so that we could have it established. That's the only thing that I had any problem.
He said he's been talking with Frank, and Frank will send us something in writing.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and Frank's already prepared a letter. Once the bidding process is done and everything, we will send it to our company that we're with now.
Funding.
Next issue. It says transport prisoner.
Prisoner transport.
Gentlemen, this is a item that was in the budget at the beginning of the year. If I remember, you had earmarked $60,000 potentially for this vehicle. The county commission removed it from the budget in our attempt to have a balanced budget and to allow for certain other things within the budget. We told the sheriff at the time that were the monies available later in the year, we would consider it. So he's here. Tell us the...
I have the monies available for it.
You have them.
I'm not coming to you to get the funds for it.
You are... You get...
I have...
Those yard sales he's been doing?
Yeah.
Very successful.
I have the monies available through our inmate security funds, and so... The only thing we need to do is just do the, get the approval, do the bid on it.
I'm there. How about you, gentlemen?
Motion for approval of his request on the prisoner transport.
To start the bid process?
Start the bid process, yes.
Oh, we need a... Do you want a motion or...
It's okay.
Well, I mean, that's what he's here requesting, right?
Danny's wanting to get this done before I change my mind.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to move forward with the purchase of the prisoner transport van, as the sheriff has recommended. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We didn't give a chance for discussion.
Opposed nay?
It was aye for the four, not a nay.
Anything else, Sheriff? Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Mr. Erickson, as
always. Thanks for Ron's time.
We just love to weigh him down, don't we?
Yep.
Job security.
We did the janitorial supplies. Road and Bridge update. Mr. Hayes.
Good morning.
We do have an issue at the end of your presentation regarding real estate that we do need to be an exec on, and I do want you there for that if you will be. Thank you, sir. Before you begin, Randy, I'd like to bring to your attention, I'd like you to take a look at this, the Blancett Road that's over by the Bull Creek Bridge. You know which road I'm discussing?
Walnut Shades.
Some individuals that live along that road would like us to take another look at it, give me a report as to where we're at on it, what the process would be if we wanted to do anything different, maybe a little history, and we can chat about that in the near future.
Okay.
Just where we're at, how we maintain. But I want to take a look at that, and I have told the people that live along there that we will, in fact, look into that. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Is that the email?
I've also forwarded this to your emails. I've made contact with Keith Francis, City of Branson, talking about the Fall Creek Road we'd planned to overlay, and you gentlemen wanted me to put that on hold till we talk with them. They're going to be fairly, probably in September, before they even want to consider talking about from the what I get from this email, and that's going to put us pretty late in the year. I didn't want to hold Table Rock up as far as we've got so much money in the budget for hot mix work. I didn't know if we wanted to choose an alternate road for the time being until we work out details on this one. I also had you forward me a set of plans on looking at the west end as far as intersection type work.
Ron, did you have something for us?
Okay. Possibly on a particular item in here. Depends on how we do it. But I do need to do some patching on Fall Creek. It's got some areas in there. It's going to have something done this year. I didn't know if we wanted us to just patch it for the time being until we get a chance to talk to them. Or what do you want me to do with that particular road right now?
I think with the agreement, any agreement that we would have with the City of Branson, we would have to have the road maintained up to a certain standard anyway, so I can't see any reason not to go ahead and do it, but this has to be a topic of discussion about piecework in this particular road with four parcels, I think, that lay city, county, or county, city, or however you want to fit it. But are you in agreement with that?
Yeah, me either.
Brandon, I think everything that we've heard from them, that they...
Does this section of road fall within the city limits of Branson?
Well, it's in and out of the city. The road itself, they maintained, I think, a little more than half of the road, and we maintained the rest of it. About 2.5 mile of it is in the county that we currently maintain. There are several roads off of Fall Creek that we continue to maintain, and they've taken in part of the roads off of Fall Creek and maintaining. But the parcels, you're in the county, you're out of the county. I mean, it's kind of a checkerboard type situation.
If I'm not mistaken, as I read this, it states, you guys go ahead and do the work, and if we decide we want it sometime in the future, we'll consider it. Is that what?
Well, Table Rock would like to at least a little leeway notice. They kind of want to be winding down their hot mix production toward the end of September, and I'd like to get it done before cooler weather gets here where we can get optimal work done. And not run into bad weather or cold conditions.
No. I agree with Danny. I think it's in the email says that would be considered part of the...
Sure. Your suggestion is that we move forward then?
We go ahead and move forward with it before we run into a cold weather stretch. Who knows?
We get a lot of complaints on that road.
I know.
It gets a lot of traffic, and we're going to have to do something. It's getting in
shape. Let's move forward then. I think you've got consensus. We need to move forward.
Okay. We're good there. Our own crews are currently patching Foresight, Taneyville area, and I've got one crew going to go toward Pro Tem area. I'm going to try to get some patching and seal work done down there before school starts up, because we're currently using Mark Lane to stockpile some chips, so I want to get that done before school starts up and be out of there. And Brian is currently MM area doing chip seal, following the patch crew, so we'll hopefully we can get through our list before before October anyway, if weather holds. One item I did want to bring up to you is the we got kind of a cost estimate on a shop building at the Mount Branson yard, and actually I got a couple of cost estimates just kind of give you an idea. This here is just the building itself and kind of a drawing of the type of structure I'd like to put there. This one is an estimated cost on a complete building, except electrical plumbing, but the concrete and the structure erected. This cost estimate Danny has is just the building itself without the concrete. And it kind of shows you the difference. I would estimate by the time we get done electrical and everything installed, it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood about $115,000 to $120,000, I would say, would put a complete building. I mean, everything furnished inside then should be operational. It depends if we have somebody do it or if we do it. I mean, there's going to be a lot of difference there.
Have we had to look at the difference in a metal structured building versus a truss?
This is a red iron steel type structure, basically is kind of what we're insulated. Another way to go would be a stick frame, but I don't know if it would be what the difference would be.
We have the room on the upper side of the old shop.
We have enough room between the storage building and the current shop to put that size building. We just move the salt racks. We'd have to move them and the spreaders, and we'd eliminate that little bit of parking. It would save us probably 2-3 parking spots right there, but the rest would go away. We'd have to park elsewhere and move the racks to the far end of the yard.
Randy, have you visited with the sewer department to see if they might be interested in 2 or 3 or 4 of the old bays or the old building floors there?
I haven't talked with Brad. Now, Devin has told me that they evidently looked at it, and I don't know which one of the sewer department come over, but they did look at the building. I don't know what their thoughts was, but if they'd be interested in that particular shop or not, I'm not sure. I'll talk with Brad.
Right. Smaller vehicles, you know.
So the building that we're talking about is somewhere else on the property? Leave the current building standing? Is that?
Yes. That's kind of our thoughts. We've built our shopping behind that one. Leave that building there, sewer department use it, or if we continue to use it, we'd use it for storage. be able to put some equipment that we don't have enough room to store, back truck and items like that.
Smaller vehicles.
Smaller vehicle type. A lot of the, some of the equipment, Hilda's got a storage shed, but it's generally that's where we put all of our distributors and chip spreader.
I guess my point is, with a even with a brand new building, we're going to need the additional space for potentially for storage, for sheltering of some vehicles. Potentially, I mean, that's just
right.
Okay.
I visited with Randy about this, and I visited with Fuzz, who's a mechanic up there. And the mechanic said it's very difficult for him to try to work on a vehicle and tear it down with the doors open and then have to drag it out of the, can't leave the doors open because that leaves access to all the other buildings. So has to drag the truck out, shut the doors down, and then the next morning have somebody drag the vehicle back inside.
Danny, I'm 100% agreement. We need to.
Yeah, there's something that doesn't seem right about that, especially during cold weather. So.
I've seen it too. Randy asked me to put an eye on it. It's so much better for me when I put an eye on one of these projects and try to understand. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe how inconvenient.
The other option we looked at was we were thinking about maybe modifying the current structure, but the way it's designed, it might be very difficult because it's got a truss type system that's an older style, but the walls and the blocks between the current bay doors are actually the support and structure for the building. That might compromise the old building if you go taking part of that out of there and trying to redesign. Don't know that would be any cheaper. Probably be about as much money as just erecting a metal building structure.
There would be a possibility of demolition of the old building or parts of the old building after the new building's up so that we don't have a total absence of mechanical and office area for the men that are working there. They
well,
use that, but
now the new building design, there'd be enough room for all that in one structure where they could still use this building for small stuff if need be or storage, that type of thing. But with that size
but
building.
But Dan's comment is we've got options. And we
we've got options.
Some. That's and, important, too, have to have some options to look at.
One question would be if we do the construction or if we hire out the construction in timeline to possibly have it in before cold weather. I would really have to alter our workload to get enough people to have that completed by that time. So.
Well, I mean, these are quotes.
These are just kind of quotes. It would actually have to either go out for
so we'd have to work, obviously, with Ron to tie this down so that we can have apples to apples.
Correct.
I tell you where there might be some money savings, though. If we did whatever size we decided on the structure of the building, if we had our people do the concrete work. And if they could come in and set a steel structure on a pad that was already sitting there. Now that would be a real cost savings to us because if we have to hire concrete crews and things like that to come in, then we have a definitely a salary increase and things like that that would cause
we can also do the infill. I mean, they can do some of the finished work, sheetrock and for the officers or wherever.
Oh, a lot of the inside, we could do that. Yeah. The main thing is the building itself and the electrical, that type stuff installed. Everything else we can pretty much complete inside on our own.
It's big enough. We get some competitive bids on it.
Is it going to be big enough?
Oh, yeah. That's
it's, now or in the this is the same size building as the Hilda facility. Same. It would give you three full bays. One 20-foot end would be for all your tools, storage of small items, and then the office and break room would be up just overhead, so you don't have that overhead waste space up there. The difference between Hilda facility, we put a fourth door in there. It was mainly designed for length where you could pull in a trailer, equipment trailer type vehicle, and then a pit for a service area. That got finally altered and changed. The open pit, it's somewhat good, but then somewhat it's kind of dangerous. You always got that open area in the floor that's probably not always a good thing. Sometimes we have to cover it if you have the building used for different functions. So we were going to do without that. And,
you just have a flat surface is what you're saying.
Right. It's just going to be full flat floor. It'd be have a full 50-some foot length. So.
Well, before cold weather, I think.
I think we ought to move forward.
I do.
I don't see, if the dollars in the budget, I don't see the reasoning to wait.
Well, this would be taken out of capital improvement line item, wouldn't it?
Yep. Okay. Well, I'm sorry, that'd be my suggestion. I said, yep, pretty good.
Okay.
Well, we have so many. We have lots of maintenance, gentlemen. We've stretched our fleet but not buying new vehicles and things, and we have lots of maintenance. So,
can we direct them to move forward? Because I know that Ron hasn't got much to do.
Yeah.
If I could ask a question. Recently, with this type of project, we bid out the materials. A lot of our road and bridge experts did the hammering and nailing, and like with their new office, we used existing contracts through the Wilson Group. They actually came in and did the electrical work and some of the plumbing and some of the things that are beyond our expertise. Would that be an agreeable methodology to follow? Because what that does is that protects us regarding prevailing wage, regarding insurance ramifications, regarding a bid bond situation. If we're going to build a $150,000 building, we have those ramifications and concerns up with. I mean, the Wilson Group, I think, did a great job on the new office, and they're sanctioned through NJPA and through other state and national contracts. That would also cut a lot of the time frame out of the whole bid process to have a workman come in and offer proof of insurance on prevailing wage ramifications on that's covered. Just an idea, just throw out ideas to see if that's if you guys had good experience with that project or not.
Well, the main thing that we that I'm looking at myself is thinking that we need to get the building in place, and then we would have Randy estimate at that time what it would take on the inside for what the use is. We're talking about offices on a parallel scale and all those things, so that would be a totally separate, but we have the building and get it here and get the floor poured and everything in place at that time. And then let Randy and Harlan, Huff and Lowry, all those boys come in and have a round table discussion on what we need on the inside and what has been of use in the past and put it to full use that way. That way we don't slow down the process of having the building on the ground with
What do you start to say?
Concrete floor.
If the concrete's already a bid item, we wouldn't have to bid that out. I would have to alter a work schedule to have four or five people available to form up, excavate. That part we could do, put the pad there as long as we had a blueprint of where a particular size building similar to that would set. That way your bolt pattern and all that is, and the footing size and dimension and rebar, all that's placed correctly. That part we could probably do in-house. The erection of the building with Red Iron, we've never had our crews do that type of building. They're comfortable stick frame.
I'm not interested in our people doing that because the other people are designed and they can come in and set one of them up before we can even get started or try to figure out what we're supposed to do.
What about, would you put the plumbing in the concrete though or no?
Do I?
The plumbing in the concrete.
The plumbing, we could put that in.
You guys are stubborn.
Because it's already got a sewer system that runs, or a sewer line that runs behind there, right behind the existing buildings.
But it's hard to put it in if you don't know where to put it in the building. Is that?
Well, that we would have a generalized floor plan. Your restroom facilities, whether it be on the bottom floor, you wouldn't put that up anywhere. We've done that at Hill, that we put in the plumbing system and everything. Had that before the concrete. We didn't do the concrete. We had a contractor come in and do the concrete. But the plumbing and everything was in place. Floor drains, whatever your layout is, gray water lines, that type of thing. So.
You brought up an interesting deal there, and I know that's something that I hadn't even thought about when we talk about our people doing it, is the stress level on the footings and things like that. So we just let Ron go ahead and put that building out for bid. They'll know what it is. The companies that bid on it will know what they need for footings and everything. So
we could get a building, bidding it out, we could get a building put in place to a specific stage, and then the inside, like the electrical, we could utilize that, or because there's so many items, you put in a certain size service. We just have them do an on-site visit. We pretty much bid it out.
What Ron had suggested was, and if I'm not mistaken, Ron, help me, what we had over here was a company that took care of all.
Yeah. Well, actually, contractors, et cetera. We bid out the materials for this particular building because Steve and Delmer could work up a materials list. We bid that out. We picked local. Herman, I think, got the bid on that. It's the heating and air, the electrical, and the flooring that we went used the NJPA company, and they selected two local contractors. They just done the heating and air and the electrical.
They're all bonded.
And then they themselves sent their own people down and done the flooring. That's what was handled through that.
Why don't we take this a step further and you guys look at that and what other options we have and then come back to us ASAP. We don't have a lot of time to mess around, right?
No.
Is that all right?
First of August, yeah.
And whatever looks good, come back and give us a recommendation. And let's get on it.
Okay. The next item I've got there.
Thanks, Ron.
Next item I got there on Copperhead Road. This is a county maintained road in the Cedar Creek area. Blueprint here. This comes off of Cotton Rock Road. This road, KK28, is called Copperhead. It comes down to this small subdivision here, but we maintain to this point, and we go over this hill down to right here, and this is where we stop our maintenance. This is a very difficult place to try to get turned around, and I was working with this landowner that owns this gentleman. He's willing to give us enough right away here to create a turnaround right here, but what I would need to do is survey this to get a description
put on the granite basement.
Well, if it's a dangerous place to turn around, it...
Wintertime, we bring a grader down here. We've had trucks hung up in here trying to plow it. Other than dry conditions,
so he's willing to give it to us.
Yeah, he's willing to give it to us. I can't see any reason why we can't do it. Do you, Brandon? Mm-hmm.
No, I'm looking over here.
Okay.
The next item on our herbicide spray program, I've been using a line item in our budget called road materials. We've exhausted that, and I still have more spraying I'd like to do before fall, mainly on brush. We do have some sprays left I'm going to use under guardrail and some specific areas that will clear that out, especially where I got side issues. But we've been working on the Johnson grass. We've been working on brush till we run out of spray. And I need to continue to spray some of the Johnson grass problems. But I wanted to bring that up for you because right now we had $15,000 in that road material line item, and we currently exhausted that.
So for 2015, we need to set up a line item for...
I would like to set up a line item
sprays.
Just for that.
That makes
specifically.
Sense. Yeah.
But you want me to hold off this year? Or,
no.
I don't.
No. This, let me, from a voice of experience, say something about this spray. This year's been a terrible year to spray because of the amount of rain that we've had. We actually have had sprays that have worked in the past, and they use a lot of the same sprays that we use and we see people, farmers use to spray their fields and things. And it has been such a rapid growth season. And so many rain, like there for a while, it was raining every other day, you know, or so, and sprays just didn't work. Where we got 80% or 90% kill last year, it's like 40% or 30% this year because of the weather conditions. So I don't know whether Randy has noticed a difference or not, but I've noticed the state where they've sprayed the Johnson grass, that'll have a little burnt place on one side of it and shoot out a shoot over on the other side, and it grows just as tall, you know.
That's the hardest stuff. Timing is one thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing, trying to coordinate where our mowers are at and trying to either stay behind them and catch it when it's a certain height before it heads out. The other thing, once it's up so high and you can spray it, but it's still there. I mean, it's going to take a while for it to fall over, so it's still a side issue. A lot of times there are people who are going to complain because it is so tall, and it's a problem where you got animals or whatever crossing the road, and it just...
I visited with the state on our road entrances off the state road, and they said anything that was... noticeable to go ahead and call them, whether it laid on your side or my side, either one, Brandon, to give them a ring where we think they're, and they'll come out and mow it immediately to get sight in. And told them about three or four places that I knew where even buses as tall as they were having problems. So they said they'd take care of it, so we can keep that in mind, Randy, that if you run onto a place that is on the state road.
Well, we've had areas where they hadn't got to with their mowers, or I don't know what their program is. Some areas they're spraying, some areas they're mowing more, but where we do have an area, why we give them a call. And a lot of the areas around their guardrail, they use the prisoners, they come here and weed it.
we don't have that advantage, so I want to continue and try to, we got some of it sprayed, but we've got a lot of areas yet we haven't even got to, so.
Yeah.
That's. The last item I got here, I would like to purchase a mower trailer to make it easier to move around. We've got two mowers. Devin keeps one of them pretty well tied up with their Skag mower going around to different parts. I actually need another one. It's not a big cost. It's we've got one found for $1,100. It's an actual trailer that's designed to load that John Deere mower rather than using bigger equipment to move a mower on. I mean, he's used equipment trailers that you normally move backhoes and type stuff to move this, and that's a little big to be moving a mower. But
where's the trailer that we rigged up with the racks that's got the weed eaters hanging on? I mean, I've seen it, and we did it.
One of them we use as a sign trailer. That's what he's got it designed for. And then the one trailer that Huss using currently, because he moves around to four or five different areas to work. Harlan's just got a couple areas, Gazemill Park, and then he comes up here to the courthouse with the John Deere, and then, of course, his own facility he mows. But he doesn't have a mowing trailer for that.
I don't have any problem with it. I was just wondering where the other trailer was at, because we built one and designed it for those back, I don't know how many years ago, 5-6 years ago.
Well, that one, I think, is currently being used. That's what he's using on the Skag. And it had to be a certain width to even get them on it, you know.
You know, had to rack.
Part of them are using the utility trailers.
So. It's something in that, to that form.
Yeah. We figured up the cost of the material, and you can get the material about half that cost, but then the time welding it all together is going to take a week or two. So.
Randy, get what you need.
All right. That was the last time I had.
Was the executive session upstairs or was it down here?
It's here.
Remind me, Randy, the next time that you come forward to put executive session personnel on the deal, on the agenda.
Is there a motion?
Well, Randy, real quick, did you ever look into the boots?
That was something else I want to talk to you further. It's difficult to find a vendor here locally that handles that particular brand, and I was also, so I want to do some more research with local companies. The one problem may run into is if you have to order them, getting them back, or are they going to fit and reorder might be a problem. So I was trying to find a local vendor for a possibility there, but then I wanted to talk to you a little bit farther to get your guys' input. I had their supervisors pose that to the crews. Would they be willing or susceptible to do that if you wanted to leave the boots there at the facility? And got all kinds of feedback back, but most of them said they would be willing if that's what it took. So I got quite a variety.
I got another question for you. Are those boots and let me ask it to you too, Brandon, because you're the one that brought that forward. Are those boots strictly for the chip and seal crew? Because there is a chip and seal crew.
Asphalt. Maybe a hot mix?
Well, the chip and seal boys need the same thing. The chip and seal and asphalt. But
That's one of the questions that come up, because where you've got 40-some, 45 people or whatever, if you pick out, say there's 15 on one crew and the other crew generally runs around 8 or 10 people on the asphalt, if you're buying for just them few.
Well, I mean, that's my question.
Well, that's some of the opinions I ran to. Are we only doing asphalt boots for just the asphalt, or are we doing it for the guys that's in the road oil? I mean,
you're going to ruin them regardless. You're going to ruin clothes, but we buy the uniforms, so that's, I mean, that's that part. So,
we'll discuss that whenever we get down to next time. Whenever you're in personnel, let's get down to talk.
I need to do some more checking and see what I can find. I couldn't find the specific boot that worked for asphalt. That's what that was primarily designed, and it's a good safety because they're standing on 200 degree material a lot of times, and it will just melt an ordinary boot. Right. And the soles come off. Mm-hmm. So I'll do some more checking.
Are they safety boots? Are they steel toed too, which adds
you
to
can
heat?
Yeah, you can get them, I think, both ways. I mean, they're mainly designed with it's kind of built in the construction. They resist the heat, so it doesn't transfer the heat up through to your feet. But it's also built to where the soles won't come off. They stand the heat part, where a normal boot, it would melt the glue where they're glued on, and then your soles come off. And that's the biggest problem with that.
Let's look at that real
and serious. They really weren't that expensive, if I remember right.
No, they weren't that expensive. It's hard to find. They're designed and built in Italy, is where they were designed. And trying to find a local vendor might be difficult. But
surely there's something else out there, though. If not, maybe we need to start a boot company.
Move to go into executive session pursuant to 610.021 subsection 2 for real estate discussion.
I'd ask for a little 2-minute recess or 3.
I'll grant that after we do this motion.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to go into executive session pursuant to 610.021 subsection 2. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Brandon, aye.
Ron,
aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries. We'll stand in recess for just a few.